It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Busy day in the NFL. There's no offseason, there's no off days either now. We've got a DeAndre Hopkins trade from the Titans of the Chiefs. Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline for a little instant reaction on this. And also, of course, Bills Seahawks and where the Bills are. We'll check in the Barnes Firm injury report as well. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Not bad. Hopkins to the Chiefs. This is something that, I mean, the Chiefs had flirted with the idea of signing him a year and a half ago. So, And then he goes to Tennessee. The Bills had flirted with that idea as well. So Hopkins finally finds a home with a good quarterback, something that, you know, a couple years ago we watched him list the guys he would play with. So he finds a home in Kansas City, and the Chiefs get a very, very much needed bit of help at receiver.
Yeah, I can remember the owners' meetings a year and a half ago going into that season, whenever that was you just referred to. I think it was not this past year, but the offseason before that. And the conventional wisdom was he was going to Kansas City at that time. It just never came to fruition. Like, a lot of people in the league just thought that was going to happen. However, that was kind of shaking out. Remember, the Bills were kind of rumored to be in that mix as well. That never shook, obviously, either. But here we are now in the middle of 2024, and he becomes a Kansas City Chief. Look, he's 32 years old. He still, though, is coming off a 1,000-yard season last year on a Tennessee team that didn't have a very good offense. He's still a guy, I think, that could be very productive in the league. Obviously, the Chiefs need help at wide receiver right now. They have injuries, and you know they're 5-0. And there's two ways to look at this with the Chiefs. You know, I still watch them every week, guys. And to be quite honest, I'm like, I don't know how good they are. To be quite honest, but they're 5-0, right? So you give them credit, no doubt. I mean, they're finding ways to win. There's always two ways to look at it, and it's, well, good teams find a way to win, and championship teams find a way to win. And there's no doubt about that. They find a way to win. They have a great coach, and they have Patrick Mahomes. It also seems like a struggle for them to win a lot of their games. Now, they pulled away late against San Francisco last week, but you go through their games and what they've done, and their margin for error is really thin. And I think what they're hoping for, that this will a little bit increase their margin for error, and maybe they can score a few more points or have a little bit more productivity on offense, because it'll open things up for guys like Travis Kelce, obviously, who's become more of a focal point of the offense.
Yeah, to me, Sal, like, they've become a team, not even become, I mean, this was going back to even the playoffs last year or the end of last year, they're a team that wins because of their defense. Right? Like, that. Frankly, their offense has been okay at times. It has not been prolific. Their defense has been spectacular, and Spagnuolo deserves a lot of credit for that. And I saw this trade this morning. It's the Chiefs probably saying, that's worked for us, but do we want to put all our chips in that basket again of, we're just going to hold teams to 20 points, and all we got to do is make three plays at the end of the game, and that's enough to win.
Yeah, and there was an injury to one of their cornerbacks this past week, Jalen Watson, I believe.
Yeah.
He's going to be out. I think he's done for the season. I think he had a pretty major injury, and I guess maybe he could come back super late in the playoffs or something like that. But, you know, they have injuries, obviously, on offense. They have a lot of injuries, and they're still winning. They're 5-0, but you're right, Joe. I mean, they've kind of done this here with really good defense, and the way that they're playing teams on that side of the ball, they just need their offense to kind of, you know, pick it up a little bit. And it's funny to say that with a guy like Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Mahomes isn't having a really great year, numbers wise. You know, I mean, he's there. What is his, you guys probably have it in front of me. I got to look up his numbers actually as of today.
Touchdowns passing.
And eight,
six.
And eight picks.
And his normal number for a good year is like 17 by this time. He's six.
Yeah, I'm looking at his QBR, his passer rating. I'm sorry, that's not QBR. That's the NFL passer rating. 82.5, that's 23rd in the NFL. I'm looking over his numbers, his rankings.
And
completion percentage, he's still top 10. He's close to 68%. Yards, though, 16th in the league at 1,300. And here we go. Yeah, six touchdowns, eight interceptions. His interception rate, 28th. That's worse, right, in the league. Whereas Josh Allen hasn't thrown an interception yet. He's number one in the league. He's 28th in the league at 4.3 right now. And there, how about this? This is a really interesting one, right? His average pass length, like the how far the ball travels through the air on every pass, 32nd in the NFL amongst how many qualifying quarterbacks are there? 32. That's it right now. So only 32 qualifying quarterbacks. He's last. He's also dead last an average pass length of just completions. If you take only the completions, how far they've traveled in the air, also dead last in the NFL. He's the only quarterback under 4 yards.
Yeah. You know? I also wonder, too, he's on pace, I'm looking right now, he's on pace, Sal, for a career high in rushes, which is, like, that's kind of how they beat the Niners. He had a couple of big runs. He also ran a guy over to get into the goal line. But I wonder if that's a part of this, too, of the Chiefs seeing that and going, this has been a conversation here, right? Like, how much do you want Josh Allen running versus how much do you want to need Josh Allen to run? And the Chiefs have not often been a team where it's felt like they need Mahomes to run, but those are the numbers. Like, he's running more than he ever has, and I'm guessing that's not where they want to live.
No, I agree with that. And it's really funny, Joe. Like, aside from that point, because obviously Josh isn't running as much, but he's still, you know, Josh still has close to 40 attempts. You know, those are sneaks and everything. But the one area where the Chiefs have been really great this year that's really helped out Patrick Mahomes, yards after catch. He's averaging the third highest yards after catch in the entire league from his wide receivers. He's getting the ball to his receivers or his running backs. They're running. This is kind of the model the Bills wanted to go to a little bit here, right? It's really interesting that they're actually playing the kind of football we thought and we saw the Bills kind of shifting to a little bit here early on. Josh Allen, who typically is near the bottom of the league in yards after catch from his receivers and pass catchers, is fifth in the NFL. It goes Lamar, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen. All five of those guys are having really good years. Now, Mayfield didn't have a good game the other night, but you think about it. Lamar, Jared Goff, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen, those are your top five in yards after catch. These are not guys. These are great players. This is Lamar, who's a two-time MVP, could win a third one this year. Jared Goff, who, oh my God, it seems like every time you look up, he's throwing the ball 50 yards downfield. That's not the case. All of these players who are these great quarterbacks and having great years, they're actually getting the ball to players who are making plays after the catch.
Yeah. So, sorry, real quick wrap on that. Who would be your MVP right now?
I think I'd go with Lamar.
All right.
I think Lamar right now, dude, he's got 15 touchdowns, two interceptions. His team is on an absolute heater. And, I mean, he's playing fantastic football. I think I'd give it to Lamar right now. It'd be close, though. I could make a case for Josh Allen, but I think the last few games kind of been a little bit uneven, but although he was obviously very good last game, I could make a good case for Jared Goff and maybe even Derrick Henry, to be honest with you. I hate it. I hate saying it. I do, because I hate the notion. But, guys, he is on pace to break the all-time single-season rushing yardage record.
Yeah. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Let's get to things we're watching today, Sal, as the Bills and Seahawks start to gear up for this game. The Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. New names could pop up, but the two we're watching the closest are Curtis Samuel and Terrell Bernard.
Yeah, for sure. So Terrell Bernard, the latest on him on Monday from Sean McDermott and Curtis Samuel, they're both in the same boat. He said more tests, you know, they're going to have, and more evaluations. He did not have any timetable yet. He wouldn't even term them, either of them, day to day, which is a bit concerning, because sometimes on Monday, you know, people say to me, well, that's just what he says on every injury. That's not true. Sean McDermott sometimes on Monday says that guy's day to day. He basically said that about Dorian Williams. He said, you know, that's more of the day to day bucket. I'm paraphrasing here when he was asked about it. You know, Dorian was probable to come back anyway, so he probably could have came back in the game. So we'll kind of just assume that he's going to be okay. But he would not commit to day to day or even week to week or anything like that with Terrell Bernard or Curtis Samuel. So we'll see where it goes today. We'll hear from Sean McDermott at 12 noon. I'll tell you guys this. I saw Terrell in the locker room after the game. He didn't have a boot. He didn't have crutches. So that's a good sign. But you never know with these things, right? You take a couple days. You evaluate. You see where he is. But that would be a massive loss if the Bills don't have Terrell Bernard, obviously, in this game.
In terms of Samuel, Sal, like, his health is going to be interesting here, but also his role, right? Like, I wonder how much they feel like they need to get him back on the field. There were maybe pass games here where they've needed him to play a lot of snaps and tried to get the ball in his hands. I wonder if the Bills would feel they could be more conservative with him injury-wise, because I don't know how much of a role he would have this week, even if he was healthy.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Joe, just so everybody's clear, this is not the foot injury or toe injury we're dealing with, Curtis Samuel. This is a shoulder. It's not the same one. Now, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the foot/toe, but he, you know, he missed that one practice last week, and then he was fine. He's played, but this is a shoulder injury. He injured it on the second series of the game when they had that little swing pass that got batted down. He kind of got pushed down to the ground, and he landed on it, if you watch the replay. So, yeah, you're right. You know, they only have five receivers on the roster, but after that, they had to shift to four the rest of the game because he was out. And that gave maybe that gave Amari Cooper some more snaps, right? Somebody had to benefit on a snap count usage from that. Maybe it was Amari Cooper. Maybe it was Keon Coleman. Whatever it was, Mac Hollins. That would be something you'd be looking at. Now, if he can't go this week, I would fully expect them to elevate a wide receiver. I can't imagine they'd go into a game with only four healthy wide receivers. It's possible because then you could, you know, do something else with a running back or whatever, but I wouldn't think that. So you'd probably look at Tyrell Shavers or KJ Hamler or someone like that. And maybe, like you said, Joe, to your point, maybe you kind of back off him a little bit and say, look, get him a little bit healthier. It hasn't been working right now in the offense anyway. Maybe there's all this stuff that's baked in and we can get him, you know, a little bit of rest here to get him back another week or so. By the way, the other injuries we're monitoring, they're very significant in this game, both on the Seattle side. And that is DK Metcalf. Now, last night, you could check it out. I had Nico Tamurian on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, the podcast. He covers the Seahawks out in Seattle, but he used to be at Syracuse, and he went to Buff State here. So he's very familiar with, you know, both sides of this game. And he said basically every week it seems like DK Metcalf's on the injury report, but we know this week's going to be a little bit more significant. And Mike McDonald said he's going to try to play through it. But that remains to be seen, guys. There's a lot of people who believe, and he even said it's a strain with a T, not a sprain, an MCL strain. What does that mean? Now, to me, even if DK Metcalf plays, how compromised is he? How effective can he be? That's a massive, you know, situation for them at wide receiver. And then the other one for them is Tariq Woolen, their outstanding corner. He's missed two games with an ankle injury. So those are two names to monitor on the Seattle side this week.
Sal Capaccio. All right, Sal, so to the Bills and the next step from here. I wonder what we'll hear from everybody about Amari Cooper's debut. You know, first it's just like, hey, it went well. We got him somewhat involved. How long of a ramp up do you think there is to get fully involved in this offense? Are we talking weeks? Months, I mean, to get the full menu of what Cooper can offer.
From what I saw last week and then looking at the snap count usage after the game where he's at 35%, from what I saw with his, you know, ability to run the routes, and yes, I know the video that went viral and Keon Coleman kind of helping him out a little bit there. I mean, that's normal communication a lot of times. I mean, things happen, you know, during a game, but obviously he was helping him out and showing him something there. I think that was the only kind of time he felt like, okay, like he didn't really know any, you know, what he was doing there, but he still fit in. And that leads me to believe that I don't think it's gonna be long at all, guys. Jeremy, I think, I mean, you talk about maybe he won't know every single detail of every spot on the field of what they want to do with him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the field for double the snaps he was this week, to be quite honest with you. This is a true professional. I think you guys get the sense of that when you talk to him, when you hear him. Post-game press conference, super thoughtful. He says he's a smart guy. He's a cerebral guy. I don't know if you guys know, I think we mentioned this, he's a really big chess player. He loves to play chess. I actually talked to him. He watched the show, the Queen's Gambit. Remember that one? That was at the show that was on?
Yep.
With the Netflix stuff? Yeah. He said he watched that. It was, you know, just something that he gets into a lot. And I think because of that, that allows him. He loves to think ahead a little bit. He loves to dive deep a little bit into the strategy of things. And I think that allows him here in this situation to be able to onboard even quicker than a lot of other people would, just because of the way that he likes to process, the way he likes to think. So I think that, to me, I'd be surprised if, you know, we weren't talking after next game about how, oh, it seems like he's kind of already a big part of the offense and already integrated. Now, it might take a full couple more weeks after that just to get everything down pat. But I think that already, so far, so good.
Do you feel like he, when he gets rolling here, is going to be playing a very high percentage of snaps? Like, I don't know off the top of my head whether, like, they'll like him in run blocking, for instance. He's not small, though, so I can't imagine he's bad at it. But they've been using, like, even this past game, Sal, I think Mac Hollins was tied for the most snaps on the team. They like what he does, especially in the run game, and Coleman maybe too. Do you feel like once all set and done and Cooper's up to speed, that it's gonna be mostly Cooper, Coleman, and then Shakir, but Hollins will still have a role? Like, I don't think they're phasing Hollins out completely, right? Because again, there's that blocking element that they're gonna want.
Yeah, that's right. And I thought about this myself, which is like, yeah, sure, you know, dollars for dollars, of course, you'd rather, I think, see Amari Cooper on the field to catch, you know, running routes and catching passes from Josh Allen. But Mac Hollins is, to me, still going to be an important player for them because of all the things that he can kind of bring to the table. He's not the level of, you know, Amari Cooper as a pass catcher. We know that, or a route runner. But sure, I mean, it also takes a little bit off Amari Cooper on the outside to be that blocker. But you can't just put Amari Cooper on the field, as you guys know, just to catch passes. He's going to have to be involved on plays where there's runs. And he was last week, obviously. You know, he's on the field for, what, 19 snaps? They didn't throw every time on those 19 snaps. But, yeah, I'm interested to see, Joe. It's going to be – but, look, the Curtis Samuel situation also plays into this, what we just talked about. Like, right now, do you only have four guys, and is your fifth guy just kind of coming up to be, you know, more of a special teams guy and kind of break glass in case of emergency? So let's see where that goes. I'm interested to see how the snap count usage kind of morphs from here. Obviously, you know, where they what they want to do with Mac Hollins. I think you're obviously, you know, confident in Khalil Shakir playing a bunch of snaps, and even Keon Coleman. That's going to be interesting between Hollins, Coleman, and Cooper, how all this starts shaking out.
Sal Capaccio. Sal, I want to revisit Mike Edwards at the safety spot. Yeah. And just the arc of this, and if there's any end in sight or you have anything to offer on this, because as we talk about, you know, the Bills, if they wanted to look for help at another position, I think safety is one that people point to a lot, but they brought in help at safety in free agency and they identified Mike Edwards as a guy they really like, but it's not happening right now. So what's your latest on this whole, I don't want to call it a saga, I don't know if it's necessarily that dramatic, but just what's happening with that?
I'm baffled. But at this point, I guess we all need to stop being baffled and just understand that the Bills just don't trust Mike Edwards to be on the field for whatever reason. He's healthy. He has to be. He's not on the injury report. He's been healthy for weeks. He's just a healthy scratch. He's not playing. And when he is playing, it's really more of a, you know, backup role. Not when they didn't, when they went to Houston, I think he was active that game when who was injured? I'm sorry, Taylor Rapp. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Cole Bishop played there. Damar Hamlin is still manning down that spot. Look, this is a two-part issue here. Number one is, first and foremost, why can't Mike Edwards see the field? The Bills, even last Friday, guys, I had Sean McDermott on last Friday on the Extra Point Show, and I asked him this very question about Mike Edwards. And he said when they signed him, they signed him projecting him to be a starter. Well, obviously, he's not even playing, and he's healthy, so there's got to be reasons why that is. Is it physical? Is it knowing the playbook and the concepts? I just don't understand. He has made plays in this league. He's a two-time Super Bowl champion. Now, he wasn't a down-to-down safety on either of those teams, I believe. I go back, I have to think, you know, and look at the numbers. But I know he came in spots and especially had to play at times a big role for both the Tampa Bay Buccaneers a few years ago when they won it and then the Kansas City Chiefs last year when the Bills signed him. Back in March, I talked to Andy Reid. I talked to Todd Bowles. Hey, what are the Bills getting in Mike Edwards? And both of them said, this guy is really smart. He's going to fit into your system really well. He's going to be perfect for Sean's system. It's very similar to Spagnuolo's system is what Andy Reid told me. It's similar to Todd Bowles' system was what he told me. So I thought everything was on track there. So I will say, he had that injury. That really set him back. And you have to remember, he didn't just have the injury in preseason. He missed, like, all of OTAs, pretty much. Like, he had, when they signed him, he had shoulder surgery, like, shortly after that, I believe it was, or right around there. So he missed, like, all of OTAs. So it really took him a while to get into there. Okay, that happens. Then he has the injury during preseason. But at this point, I mean, heck, Cole Bishop's playing over him. I don't get it. And on top of it, guys, they went out and signed Lewis Cine. Now, Kareem Jackson came in when there was some injuries. But Lewis Cine comes in, and you wonder, like, was that even an, you know, hey, we got to have even some more kind of, you know, insurance here. The twofold thing that I talked about, though, is I know that, you know, he's not the highest level of player. I get it, and I understand when fans get frustrated. Damar Hamlin has not played bad football. Now, there are times where you say, oh, my God, that wasn't a great play by Damar. That's going to happen. I get it. There was also a play in the Jets game where Troy Aikman pointed out Damar Hamlin made a mistake, and it was not on him at all. I can tell you that. It was on the linebackers and where they were supposed to be. So sometimes I think he gets blamed for things that aren't even his fault. Yes, you want better than Damar Hamlin. I don't disagree with that. I mean, if you could get somebody out there who's more of a playmaker and you feel more comfortable with, I understand that. But he's doing everything that's asked of him in this defense right now, and he's playing well. And I think that unless Mike Edwards can just completely, like, you are super comfortable with putting him over him, there's no reason to either, because I think Damar Hamlin's played the position well enough that the Bills feel very comfortable about what he's bringing to the table. I'm going to add this one other thing about this. There was a report last week when the Bills made a trade for Amari Cooper. I think it was Jordan Schultz. He went on Colin Cowherd's show. And this kind of went viral. And he said the Bills are still looking at linebacker and safety. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a second. And then I thought about it for a second. Wait a minute. They could be looking at linebacker and safety. They also have two guys out there that they don't have to trade for. One is Matt Milano, who we think is going to come back in December. And by the way, I don't know what linebacker they'd be looking at. Dorian Williams is starting to play really well. Terrell Bernard obviously is fantastic. Like, what linebacker would you be looking at? But maybe it's because, you know, and if you are, hey, here comes Matt Milano. The other thing is, if you really wanted to look at the safety position, you know, Micah Hyde is still out there too. And you wouldn't have to trade anything to get Micah Hyde. Now, how smart would that be, or how much would people, how comfortable would they be if they saw Micah Hyde out there making tackles after the injuries? Would Micah want to play? I don't know. And I'm not saying that they're going to do that or not. What I'm saying is, though, if they really don't feel comfortable about it, there are other kind of options here they can turn to.
Yeah. You tell me if you agree with this, Sal. It's safety. I feel like the only way they're moving Hamlin out of that starting spot without an injury is for Hyde. Because the one baseline Hamlin is giving you right now is he's not making mental errors. He's not going to give you game-changing plays. So basically, what would you want? You're not really getting much better on the mental error part. You're trying to find somebody that can make more of those game-changing impact plays for you without risking the mental part of it. And I feel like the only way you can upgrade there without having some risk on that the mistakes part is Hyde. I think that's it, right?
I would agree with that, Joe. I think it's well stated by you. I think that this is a defense where, what are the Bills doing? I just looked up the numbers this morning. The Bills have the second lowest blitz percentage in the league. They don't blitz. You know what they do? They're playing their typical Sean McDermott, Leslie Frazier, now Bobby Babbage defense of, we're going to put a shell over top of you. We're going to keep everything in front of you. We're not going to get beat deep. What happened, though, when they took Taylor Rapp out of the game and Cole Bishop had to play? They got beat deep because he had some communications issues. He's a rookie, and he's still kind of learning it a little bit. That's the risk you have when you go away from somebody who, you know, as you just said, is kind of going to understand exactly what to do and where to be and when to be there. And really, that's been DeMar Hamlin. DeMar Hamlin does not make plays in the ball. He has two interceptions. One was thrown right to him, and this week was a nice play by Christian Benford, tipped it up, and DeMar was there. And I give DeMar all the credit in the world. There's no doubt about that. He's making those plays when those opportunities present. But as you said, like, he's more of a guy where, hey, someone's going to catch it in front of him. He's going to come up and make the tackle. This is not a play where the ball is in the air and you say, oh, go get it, right? You think about Micah Hyde, the play he made in the perfect game against the Patriots. Now, very few people could make that play, but we were so used to that. We were so used to guys like him and Jordan Poyer making these outstanding plays in the football. You're right. I think that if they're going to shift away from DeMar Hamlin, it would probably take them feeling comfortable about having much less of the risk, even though that means maybe not getting more of the reward, right? If that makes sense. And I think that's how it is. I would say this too about the linebacker thing. This popped in my head. I'm watching the Bills on Sunday. They go to base defense on a couple plays. I don't know if you guys saw this. Bill Inspector comes in.
Yeah, this one play.
And then they attacked him right away, right? They went with a tight end.
Yep.
Now, Bill Inspector can do a decent job when he's filling in for Terrell Bernard, especially against the run. We all know, though, I've said it, he's not a coverage linebacker. It's really not his strength. So if he's filling in for Terrell Bernard, obviously, you know, he's going to make some plays in the run game. Teams are going to probably try to attack him in the pass game. But you could do, you'd be okay there, I think, at least thinking, okay, short term, that's fine. But if you're going to play another linebacker on the field at all, and what got me thinking was, they talk about, and when Jordan Schultz said they could be looking at linebacker, I wonder if they're thinking down the road, if they have to see the Ravens again, right, especially, or the way the Chiefs want to run the ball or play right now, I wonder if they would think about, we just want somebody that we can make and play base defense sometimes. We want somebody we can play true 4-3. Now, we don't want Taron Johnson off the field, right? We're all going to say that. You, me, all of us here are going to say, don't take Taron Johnson off the field. But when those situations present itself, after what I saw on Sunday, Bill Inspector comes in to play base and they attack him with the tight end, I wonder if that's an area where the Bills would say, we'd like a guy there that we're really comfortable if we have to shift to that defense.
Well, Bernard getting hurt against Sal, like, Spectre was the one the Ravens picked on all day. And I don't know that they would, how much would they look for backup middle linebacker? Like, can we do better than Spectre if Bernard can't stay healthy? There also is, you can maybe squash this quickly, though, if you want. Like, Milano coming back in December, we could open that Pandora's box again. Like, who can one of the Will guys play the mic? Because Dorian Williams has played really well. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like that might be easier said than done.
So what are you saying somebody, one of those guys would shift over to be his backup, to Robinar's backup? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I got in a pinch if somebody got, like, this happened last year, right? Their season ended in part against the Chiefs because they mm-hmm. were out of options at linebacker. And Bernard's health right now, like, I wonder if come important games down the stretch of the season, if Bernard is dealing with something, like, would their plan mm-hmm. just automatically mm-hmm. be, we're just going to throw Bale and Spector in there, or would they try something else?
It's a good question, Joe, and I wonder too, like, how comfortable are you if something were to happen to Bernard, you lose him, you know, long term, or of an important game like a playoff game, how comfortable are you with Bale and Spector? Right now the third middle linebacker is Joe Andreessen. If Bale and Spector for some reason can't go this week, it'll be most likely Bale and Spector starting at middle linebacker. Joe Andreessen's going to be his backup, right? Like, how comfortable are you in that situation? As great as a story as Joe Andreessen is, he's a rookie, and he's an undrafted rookie, and you're going to put him in that spot. That's a pretty big spot if something were to happen, if you have to get down the depth chart. Now, Eddie Ulofosio is more of a guy that's been playing special teams. I think that, you know, I think they've trained him mostly at will linebacker, Nicholas Morrow, at the mic. So, you know, they do have some guys here, but how comfortable? These are guys that have been healthy scratches. How comfortable are they? I would say this too. The conversation is going to come up at some point when Matt Milano comes back. Is he the starter again? And I say yes. I say unequivocally yes. Like, I think he just has to be fully healthy. I think if Matt Milano's 100% healthy, I think he's your starting will linebacker over Dorian Williams. Now, that's something down the road, and we're not talking about that. We are hopefully talking about that at some point, right? And hopefully it's, you know, going to happen sooner rather than later. But I do think those are discussions that have to happen sometime between now and the trade deadline, what you brought up.
Sal Capaccio on the Westra Hotline. Thank you, Sal.
You got it.
Bills and Seahawks, of course, Sunday, 4:25. Later kickoff is there out on the West Coast. We have the full details and conditions, it seems, of the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Get those to you on the other side. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.